What a night at the Halliwell Jones, as the mighty wire goes from strength to strength. On today's pod, can we finally give a man of the match performance to a player other than Darrell Clark? After travelling up the M6 to pay homage to the North, Dennis reports back live from the Halliwell Jones. But are Dennis and Sam firmly in the pockets now of Steve Price and Carl Fitzpatrick? And has the newfound fame gone to Sam's head? Or are his statistics back firmly on the ground with Sam's new referee section? Also, we review the Bad Blood Pie Eaters game and look forward to the Wakefield game. And not forgetting Callum's Danger Man. It's all coming up. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Hello, so much to talk about this week. What with us revelling in the win over Wigan. My name's Rob London. Unfortunately for me, I wasn't there. So let's go to the two podcast members that were there on Friday night. Actually, there were three. Callum was there too. With me, I have our regular Halliwell Jones season ticket holder, who last week went over an hour without giving us one statistic. Yes, possibly affected by his recent stardom. Will he up his game today? It's Sam Sankey. Morning, Sam.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Dennis. I've got 13,106 reasons to be cheerful today. And in case you didn't realise, that was the attendance on Friday night. So statistic one.
Boom, he's back in the game. Okay, up next, an infrequent spectator to the Halliwell Jones. Some may say only travelled north to pick up his Timothy Taylor from my father's garage and paying for as little as possible as he could in row A and looking exceptionally hungover yesterday when I spoke to him. Are you there, Dennis? Hello, Dennis.
I'm certainly here. Certainly here in mind, body, spirit, but technically we could have some complications today. So yeah, let's just warn the listeners.
Yeah, we should say, Dennis. If you dip out, mate. Yeah, well, you've dipped out more than once in the first six episodes, so I'm sure it'll be the same this afternoon. Now, you are, mate.
No, I'm going to stop you right away because you're going to talk over me. Last week, I took a bit of a dip. This week, I'm on form. I'm okay. I'm on about from a technical standpoint. I might have to move to the bar in this lovely establishment, the Black Swan. Expecting a discount.
Holland's Green.
Holland's Green, yeah. There's ducks outside, but the Wi-Fi is pretty shit. So I might have to move to the bar area midway through the cast.
But okay, Roway, well, I'm not going to ask.
I'll tell you about Roway. I'm going to shut you up again. I told you my one. Roway, you know what? You have to be over 6 foot to sit in Roway to get a good view.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to ask you how your weekend's been, because obviously we're going to get onto that. Dennis has done a big section on the Halliwell Jones this week. He recorded live from the ground and before and after. So we'll get on that a bit later. So I was looking for something a bit topical this week, something that's happened in the news. One thing that happened last week was Crufts. We had a winner at Crufts. The winner was a dog called Dylan. It was a Papillon dog. And it got me thinking about an analogy. If we had to describe Deck Patton as a dog, what kind of dog would we refer to him as? Sam, you first of all, mate.
Yes, well, I wasn't gonna get drawn into this, but then I decided I would. I'm going for Greyfriars Bobby. Anyone who's been to Edinburgh will know the story of Greyfriars Bobby. Young dog, police dog, and his owner died, and the dog just went back into his grave for the next 14 years. So Deck, I'm going to say, is a small dog, is loyal, he's looking to please, but he doesn't quite understand what's happened.
Who's died? Who's died? Who's he sort of pining for?
I think he's pining for his place next year already.
Okay, fair enough. Dennis, have you got anyone, mate?
It's funny that, really, because I think we've both landed on the same thing, because I was looking at a working dog category, and one of the most loyal dogs in the working dog category is a boxer. And they're full of high energy, playful, a high need for companionship. And I thought, you know, we've already covered this somewhat in the fact that, you know, he's waiting for his photo frame off Blake Austin. So I think, you know, a bit of a sort of a relationship there. But then also they have boxers have a relationship for attacking neighborhood cats and dogs. And I think at the game on Friday, that certainly happened, did it not? Where he was defending his fellow colleagues and running in there, helping them out. Characteristic of sparring like a human. There you go. A boxer.
This is the shittest segment we've ever done.
Dog shit, Rob. That's your usual term.
I can't even
be
arsed doing mine. I'm that tired. I can't even be arsed doing mine. I've gone for another famous dog, similar to Sam. I've gone for the dog of General George S. Patton Jr. He was a general in the U.S. Army in the Second World War, and he led the invasion into Normandy. He had a dog known as Randy Willie. The dog was that Randy. It had to wear bells to alert people it was coming. So I know Dennis has been talking about his virtual reality futuristic app, which he's going to have loaded into all the players. Up until then, I think we should just put bells on deck pattern to see exactly what he gets up to.
That could work for a few players, couldn't it? A few bell ends. Why are you shaking your head, Sam? We're only 5 minutes in. Come on.
Woof, woof.
You went up to the HJ to make friends with players, and now you're going the other way again.
Oh, fair enough. All right. Well, before we get on to...
I was on about the opposition then. I wasn't on about any of our players. You do
good, good,
that.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you're back in the game.
Привет, comrade. This is Vladimir Putin, leader of Russian Federation. When not installing sleeper agent as president of America, I spend my time listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Right, well, before we move on to the Wigan review, we've got a new section on the podcast. Sam has started to show a little bit of anxiety towards What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast. Shall we say he thinks that we've all become slightly too frivolous, Dennis and I. So to overcome this, we're going to go into a new section called Sam's Blow My Whistle. Sam, over to you.
Okay, well, I really didn't see this as a section, but here we go. So
can we start talking over it and taking the piss like we do at Tackle Bags, or are we going to let him go?
No, well, I think you might find it's actually some interest here.
Let's face it, it came in response
to Rob's feeling that Robert Hicks influences games more than any other referee.
Thank you.
And that Chris Kendall lets the game flow.
Indeed.
So I got up at 6 o'clock this morning.
Come on, Sam, let's hear it. Come on.
I looked at all 30 matches so far this season because rather unhelpfully, the RFL doesn't publish info on the referees. So I had to go through each game, each match individually counting up penalties. Jesus. So, Mr. London, you would perhaps like to know that Robert Hicks only gives 12 penalties if we rounded it up per match. He is the lowest penalty giver, the lowest whistleblower in the Super League so far this year. How about that for a stat?
Well, yeah, I just want on. Yeah, but those 11 times he blows, you know, what's he giving? Is he giving
I've decided he's giving perfectly legitimate penalties.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think, you know what, I think this section is going to be like, Rob's going to be the Stuart Cummings of the podcast, isn't he? He's going to be passing judgment on, like, the ref performances. But, can you do a Cummings accent voice?
Well, I know he's a wicketkeeper at Warrington Sports Club. That's about as much as I know about Stuart Cummings, so I'll delve and find
much.
Out for you.
He's not saying much.
Right. Well, I'm going to run down these very quickly, very quickly. And I looked at...
Well, thanks for that, Sam. That was really good. Moving on to the wing. Oh, sorry, you're not finished.
Very
briefly. He's not had his airtime for the same as Tackle Bags. Go on.
Penalties given. James Childs gave 34 against the home team, 33 against away. Robert Hicks, 29 against the home, 29 against away. Chris Kendall, 47 against home, 45 against away. But then we come down to Ben Thaler.
To the screen, Thaler.
He penalised the home team 37 times, but the away team 50 times.
Oh.
Ben Thaler is a homester referee.
He's a twat.
He's a homester referee. And that's what stood out from these statistics.
Well, you want right in now to whoever... You have to write into and get that sorted, Sam. Unbelievable.
Oh, the other thing, writing, are we? Oh, we're not back to emails or anything like that. Just start to pick you up on that. See how awake I am.
He's like the Louis Theroux of the podcast, isn't he? Who's the one that won Strictly? Stacey Dooley.
Yes.
Tell you what, yeah. Wouldn't mind going up
there. Stacey Waywell investigates.
And you're going to struggle putting that now.
The final thing for this week, Catalans always moan that they get the rough end of the stick.
Well, they're French.
Catalans at home have only been penalised 13 times this year, but they've been the away team
27. Excellent section. And you see, Dennis, why aren't your sections as good as that? Hey, eh? Informative, to the point the listeners get something out of it. We now know that Ben Thaler is right at the bottom of the heap when it comes to referees. You've given us nothing apart from plagiarism.
Yeah, but it's referees. They shouldn't be an influence on the game. We had this discussion last week.
True. All right. So. Okay, let's move on to the Wigan game. Now, we're going to do a big segment in a little while with Dennis's feedback at the game, but we'll move on to the game, and we'll just purely talk about the tries, run through like we normally do, and then we'll go on to the controversial decisions and how we thought the game flowed, etc. So the team was Ratchford, Mamo, Atkins, Keane, Charnley, Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, Westwood. Interchange bench was Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Jason Clark, Philbin, and Tarzi dropped to the bench. Final score was Warrington 25, Wigan 12. Opening score, 7th minute, Jake Mamo scores in the corner after Austin floats a beautiful ball out to his wing. Ratchford misses the kick. We're 4-0 up. Are we on our way then? Did we sense that it was going to be our night straight away from the start?
Dennis, go on. You give yours first.
Well, Dennis couldn't see. He was in row A.
I was in row A. Don't forget, first half I was in row A, so I can't. It was just like a mishmash of people running back and two in front of me. I was becoming more focused on Ben Thaler, trying to sort of like compare him to the Hitler Youth.
Did they not give you a cushion like they do at the theatre so you can see?
No, nothing like that. Oh, I might make a note of that. I'll come back to that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the first 5 minutes or so was quite an interesting game of chess almost. Wigan made quite a lot of meters. It was very few errors from either team, and then all of a sudden we get the first bit of field position. We got a lovely sweeping move, a great final pass from Austin to Mamo, who scored very well in the corner and finished that well.
Can I just say, there's no one on the Wigan team that can play chess. They're as thick as pig shit. I mean, they'd be lucky to play drafts, wouldn't they? I mean, I'd go as far maybe as Connect Four. All right, 32nd minute. Stephen Ratchford scores after taking that flat pass from Curry. I don't know how many times we've seen that pass now, but it worked yet again. Ratchford converts 10-0 up. Sam, do you think it's about time that the opposition realise what that play is? I mean, it's basically from the same spot every time. Curry throws the ball, Ratchford runs onto it, and it just seems to get the opposition time and time again.
Yeah, it was almost an identical move to, I think it was Magic 2 years ago when we played Wigan. Might have been last year, but beautiful game, and as you say, it seems like we do it, but nobody quite picks up on it.
No one picks up on it at all.
Jason Clark was offering up for as a runner as well for that.
That's part of the play, isn't it? It's not just Curry to Ratchford. There's someone there sits in the middle. Dennis, did you actually see that at all? Could you see it from your seat?
Yes, I could see it. Very limited what happened there. So Curry takes the ball, finds the gap. I'm just watching the video. Oh, yeah. And he dives over. Yeah, great try.
I'm watching the video.
Well, as you're talking, I'm just catching up now. It was a long day. Let's just remind everybody that I arrived quite early.
Yeah, we're going to get on to that, Dennis. Thing. We're going to get on to that. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying I was tired.
Fair enough. All right, 39th minute. Ratchford slots over a penalty, and we go in at half-time 12-0. It didn't seem, even though we were only 12 up, it seemed that the game almost was over at that point. It just seemed to be all one way from what I saw. I went off to make a cup of tea at half time, and I thought to myself, well, that's it. We're just going to steamroll them in the second half. Did you two both get that impression?
Yes, yeah, I did. I mean, we could have scored more than the 12 points. I had a chat to one of the guys there who just didn't see Wigan scoring, and thought we might end up 36-0. But we did seem to, so longer the game went on, we looked up for it. We had the extra to score, whereas they just looked like they were putting effort in but getting nowhere.
Games like this always start in that first 20 minutes. And the thing is that I think when you have all the pressure and you've got field position, you just then starting taking a lot out of the tank of the opposition, aren't you? So although, you know, you get further into the match and they're always going to have a 10-minute spell, which they did go on to do. I think that constant sort of grind in them early minutes, I think that's sort of like where the game started to sort of like, you know, get on top.
Mm. Okay, well, after half time, it continued the way it had gone in the first half. Morgan Escarre deals abysmally with a high kick, and Charlie picks up the ball and he finishes superbly with one hand touchdown in the corner, and Ratchford converts from the touchline, 18-0 up. Great try again, Sam. Charlie back to his best.
Oh, Morgan Escarre gifting it. Actually, just only a minute or two before, we've not picked out that we should have scored almost straight from kickoff when Ratchford flew down the middle of the field, long ball out to Charnley, and he got caught. But in terms of a finish, as you say, he picked up the ball, he jumps one-handed put down with only probably 2 inches spare room to work in. That's what he's very good at.
Yeah, didn't go to the video ref, did they? Just gave it straight away.
Yeah, didn't need to.
All right, look, Tom Davies scores on the 61st minute out wide. Hardacre converts 18-6. And then we have the Willie Iser try. And the try is converted 18-12. And all of a sudden, we're getting very shaky. Their tails are up. They're right back in the game.
Yeah, I think actually there was a key moment when Ryan Atkins dropped a bomb that the Wigan defence, again, had failed to deal with. And it looked like Atkins was going to take it and stroll under the sticks and we'd have gone 24-0. I think in the aftermatch discussion, I think Blake Austin, it might have been Steve Price, said he thought we should have gone 24-0. And that would have put the game to bed. But they just get a sniff and they get a sniff, scored a couple of tries, a couple of good ones, actually. And yeah, From nowhere, the ground feels nervous.
Yeah. They were right back.
Can I just make a note? In the second half, by the way, I'd moved up to where all the posh lads sit, and I was sat next to Sam. And, you know, going from a quite mild first half, quite comfortable, you know, getting up, this, that and the other, all of a sudden, all this anxiety, uncomfortable feeling came across me as he's itching and moving around in his seat going, oh, do you think we'll hold out? Do you think we'll make it? You did start getting a bit nervous there, Sam, didn't you?
I did. I got twitchy in my seat. And I think when we eventually did score again, I think I jumped up and might have shouted a couple of obscenities in the Wigan direction.
Well, someone else who jumped up was Steve Price, because at 18-12, he leaves the box and goes down to the touchline. But we didn't panic. And then the man of the moment, yes, Deck Patton, kicks the highest drop goal in record to make it 19-12. Unbelievable.
He hit the top of the stand, didn't he?
It did. I don't know how he managed to do that. He must have hit it with a sand wedge or something the way he hit that ball. 74th minute, Westwood is sent off. And then on the 78th minute, why make it close to the winning line? And from a simple play, Jack Hughes crashes over. Ratchford's success with the kick. That's 4 kicks out of 5. And the final score is 25-12. Right, talking points to the game. No particular order. First of all, Wigan and their dirty tactics. I mean, boy, they're a dirty team. It goes beyond what it should do as far as I'm concerned in a rugby league game. They are constantly niggling, constantly looking at dirty tactics. It's the whole way through. And I think this has only been exaggerated now based on the fact that they're not attacking very well at the moment. It's just becoming, you know, constant. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, penalty count was 12-4 in our favour. Perhaps we didn't quite make the most of it. And when I watched it back yesterday in the cold light of day, the normally normally they don't like to talk about anything controversial on Sky, but on two occasions in the second half, Eddie Hemming says, oh, third man of Wigan went in low there around his legs.
Well, they've always done that, making
reference to them actually attacking the legs again. It was nothing particularly bad, but as you say, it's always niggly. It's always on the line. And it's always a chance for it to hurt somebody badly.
Well, the third man in the tackle started with Maguire, didn't it? That's when it first started. He brought it over from the NRL, and they constantly did it. Joe Greenwood's shoulder charge on Blake Austin, I mean, he's going to get a few weeks for that, isn't he? Surely they're not going to let him get off with that. That was late.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that. I haven't even seen the replay of it. I don't think anyone's captured that, have they? Is it a bad one? Because I was sat with Sam, and he was absolutely convinced at the time, and I was like, ah, it'd be all right. It's not that bad.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea who is employing Phil Clark at Sky, but he should never be able to commentate on another Wigan game, because what he said after that was basically, oh, it should never have happened because there should have been a penalty to Sargentson earlier on. I mean, that's how he answered that. And then he said, oh, maybe he's got a little bit of whiplash.
Jesus.
He was groggy for a little while after that, Austin.
Yeah. He did his best to run it off.
Yeah, he looked completely busted on the night. I don't think he was firing on all cylinders, shall we say, after that especially.
Blake Austin, performance car of the week.
The Austin Allegro, designed by Harris Mann in 1973, was probably known as the worst performing car in the Austin range. Its marquee square steering wheel and unique design never really lived up to the hype. In the late 70s, the gear changes were once described by a lady like stowing a bag of marbles with a knitting needle. So with little leg room, poor gear changes and everything falling apart, this week's Austin Performance Car of the Week is the Austin Allegro.
Steady on, Austin. I think one of the wheels has fallen off.
The Westwood sending off. I mean, fair's fair. He had to go. Dennis, what are you doing now? What are you eating?
Are you getting some food or something?
I'm getting a biscuit. Can you hear that?
Yeah, of course we can hear it.
Jesus, this microphone's topping it. You know what? When I was interviewing someone with this, they said, oh, could I get a picture of your microphone? What is it? And they got all interested in it. And it picks up anything. You can't even fart without anything knowing on this.
Oh, anyway. Top professionalism. Hmm.
Yeah.
Westwood.
It's a goodness week, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Dennis, come on, tell us about Westwood sending off. You're in the posh seat now. What do you make of that one?
Westwood sending off. It wasn't that bad, really. I'm not Phil Clark now. He sort of just brushed his eyebrow across his forehead, didn't he?
There's no way.
Prominent sort of eyebrows as Ben Westwood. So, you know, if he was looking round, I might have been shouting at the time. And he might have just been looking round, say, oh, Dennis, sir, and just caught that bloke's head. So nothing in it. I'd say, like, you know, just a bit of a warning.
Do you know, like, episode one, you put so much into it, leading into it, didn't you? You were all smartly dressed down there in Glastonbury. Episode seven, you're in some shitty hotel room eating biscuit.
I know, and I'm holding this up because I'm missing every question that you're at. You keep breaking up. I have no idea what you're talking about. And then you just keep going, what do you think, Dennis? And I'm like, all right.
Another quality production from what would Brian Bevin say?
All right, well, I've got another one. Ben Curry. He needs to learn how to put the ball down over the line. This was exactly the same as the Challenge Cup final. Curry carries the ball high up on his shoulder, and he doesn't get it free enough, quick enough, when the player comes in to tackle him. On this occasion, I watched it back. All he needed to do was just lift the ball into the air as Hardacre tackled him. And he falls over the line and scores. Exactly what would have happened in the Challenge Cup final. I just think he holds the ball too close to his chest as he dives for the line.
Yeah, that, obviously he was held up. I think we perhaps give Hardacre some credit there. It was a super tackle. But again, that would have put us further ahead and Wigan might have blown out, whereas instead of just coming back in the last few minutes.
All right. Anyone else got anything to add on the Wigan game?
Yes. Yeah. I think we sort of touched on it, but when you hear the response of the two coaches after, Steve Price was obviously delighted, but felt we should have gone on and scored more points and really made the game easy. Whereas Adrian Lamb was really upbeat, saying their best performance in ages. They were great. They were back. And I've even been told that he was that happy, he actually got the team to sing the victory song in the changing rooms after. And if that's the case, yeah, that just shows how far Wigan have fallen.
We should just say that Dennis has had to move to the bar. His Wi-Fi is that rubbish in the room that he's now down in the bar. Yeah. And there seems to be a party going on. He's got his notebook over the microphone.
Yeah, and
really
a cushion.
Any difference. And a cushion, right. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's over your knob. What about socks over the microphone, mate?
Well, interestingly enough, what Sam's just on about there, about that, in terms of, like, yeah, what the Wigan fans thought of the game and things. From a Warrington perspective, and I know Steve Price didn't seem that upbeat or anything, but the thing about it is that, you know, to get through a season, some players drop off a bit of form, and then everybody else has got to sort of step up. And I think, you know, a good team allows you to get through a game like that. Yeah, all right, we didn't thrash them, and we would have thrashed them if everybody was playing on form. But ultimately, everybody else stands up when some of the key players don't play particularly well. And I think it's a good balance if a side can do that. I mean, Wigan, yeah, forget it. They're a waste of time, aren't they?
Right, on to the predictions. Final score was 25-12. Dennis went for 36-18. He was 17 away. Sam went 30-10. He was 7 away. And I went 36-8. I was 15 away. So yet again, or not yet again, it goes to Sam this week. So it's 2-2-1 going into the next week. Okay. All right. Well, you'll all be pleased to know we can have a bit of a rest now because we're going to play a soundbite. You just cannot beat the Halliwell Jones with its state-of-art light shows, its in-house DJ, the wire flyer, the roar of the crowd, our entertaining soft hand forwards, and our backline brimming with talent, and a proper marquee signing. Oh, and not forgetting Depp Patton. Well, to soak up all the atmosphere, Dennis made his way to the HJ on Friday night. Whether he could actually see down there in row A, we'll find out. Or did it even matter? Has he been supplied with an abundance of alcohol with Sam's generosity? It's over to Dennis's matchday experience.
So this is Dennis Waywell setting off from Glastonbury this morning, taking Mrs. Waywell up the M5. We'll slip into the M6 and we'll unload the tackle bags in Hollins Green. Just been interrupted there by some technical freak telling me to put my mic down. But I was just wondering if I could ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever been mistaken for a rugby league player?
I've pretended to be a rugby league player in the past, yes. Probably the closest.
Who is that, Bob Jackson? Les Boyd?
The bin man version, probably, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So if we were to replace the ball with a 12-inch dildo, would you think that would be a good innovation for the game?
Is this for tackle bags now?
No, this isn't tackle for tackle bags.
Tackle bags going in a perverse direction.
I'm glad that you're familiar with tackle bags. That's really ticked all my boxes this evening. Good evening, sir. Could I ask you, what one question would you really like to ask a Warrington Wolves fan? Obviously, you're not from Warrington yourself. What question would you like to see, you know, what would you like to ask?
So where would you see Warrington in the future?
Where would you see Warrington in the future? In what way would that be, sort of on the field or off the field?
I think both as well. Constant top two team, you know, challenging and obviously winning some trophies.
What did you think about the human light board last week? Do you think that that was a good innovation?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pre-game stuff now that's keeping families entertained, isn't it, before the game. So it's getting families involved as well and, you know, bringing a lot up into the community as well.
I'd like you to sort of like try and think of some interesting stat or anecdote that you've had with rugby league.
I could tell you how many miles I've done on my car.
I like it. Go on then, give us that stat.
So I've probably done about 18, 20 odd thousand in the last year and a half, constantly up and down.
Dedication.
So, yeah, and money in hotels, watching my son, yeah. Follow him all over the place.
Excellent, thank you very much. As I walk past the King's Head, I can see people moving around, crowds and thousands of people. They look like ants with a purpose, moving their way to the Halliwell Jones. Well, here we are, we're outside the Halliwell Jones. There is actually queues tonight, we're being guided to get onto the pavement. Sam, have you got any sort of thoughts on why this queue is like it is and why it's not organised enough that you should be sort of walking in the sort of like, you know, the best entrance to the stadium?
Frankly, I'm outraged that I have to queue up to get in. Usually I turn up, I go straight in to my seat, but now I've got to queue up tonight. Yeah. Where have they all come out of the woodwork from?
Yeah. For the podcast this evening, sir, would you like to comment on where you think Warrington will be?
What, tonight?
Yeah.
I think we'll win. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
easy?
I think we're going to turn up. They can't be bad all the time, can they?
No, they can't. Who do you think will be our sort of standout player this evening?
The man on the millionaire books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not turned up just yet.
No, he's doing bits, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's not given us that wow, has he?
Not yet. Do you think Dec Patton's actually outshone him at the moment?
I like Dec. I think he's got the lot. He just needs...
10 games
to be allowed to play. What I mean,
I think some of us have said he needs 10 games.
Yeah, you know, he's got a perfect chance now to get himself a really nice contract somewhere else.
I want to ask about the queuing first. We got queued outside, now we're queuing again. Is there anything the club can do differently, Susan?
Yeah, more staff.
More staff.
More staff. More staff in the vending areas.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, really, they should have maybe pre-prepared the drinks going forward. If we had an app that we could actually put our sort of like drinks order in, send it through, then we could pay with the phone and actually just walk away with the drinks.
Yes, I totally agree.
And what's your favourite tipple when it comes to ordering something on there?
I get the...
don't say pie.
No, I get the Somersby cider.
Cider, okay.
I can get it over there on a pump, but I'd rather just get the can here. Because that one says it takes even longer.
We're actually from Glastonbury, home Somerset, home of cider, yes. What's our favourite cider? I don't like cider.
Wilkins.
I'm a whiskey man myself, but they don't serve it.
You not bring your own bottle in your coat or anything?
Maybe.
Thank you for that.
I'll take the fifth.
Here we are, the crowd singing, "Who the fucking hell are Wigan?" I'm not sure if it's appropriate in this day and age. Sir, do you think that's appropriate?
Definitely, most definitely, yes. Who the hell are they?
Yes, I like it.
Pieces.
He tidied that up there for the podcast, so let's get it underway. Thank you. Here we go.
We'll play the ball. It's Clark again. Here is the skipper, Hill. He finds Westwood. Westwood gets it wide to Patton. Further wide it goes to Austin. Wide! And a chance for Jed Marlowe. And the first try of the night for the Warriors of Wolves. And Jed Marlowe, he's in rip-roaring form as Marlowe. Warrington lead by 4 points today.
So at half-time, with Warrington taking the lead, I find myself outside the toilets again. I'm joined here by Cal Fitzpatrick, Warrington Wolves CEO. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Well, last time I checked, it was anyway.
Right, OK. Cal, how do you think the game's going so far?
I think it's gone fantastic. First of all, I want to say a big thank you and well done to the Warrington supporters. I mean, we've come out in our force tonight, and it does make a massive difference to the players. I know that. I've been inside the inner sanctum. I know the impact that it can have. So much so, we've sold out of the three home stands, and we had to start punching with our supporters anyway.
It is very good, isn't it?
Outstanding achievement. It's made the difference. In terms of on-field, I thought Wigan started quite strongly in terms of defence. We were ferocious defensively. We was making limited metres, but we knew if we hang in there, eventually we'd break them. It's 12 at half time. I won't be surprised if it's 20 odd points come the end of the game.
And I tell you what, you are getting it right off the field as well, because you look at some of the marketing that you're doing, it really is having an impact, because every other club is looking at us and saying, you know, that's the way to do it.
Absolutely. No, it's a little bit cliche, but we're in show business. That's what we're in. We provide content for people to enjoy, for people to consume, and we've got to be creative in that. Long gone are the days where you can just expect people to turn up and just enjoy the game of rugby. Yes, of course, they'll do that. When they come to Warrington, I went to walking away thinking, do you know what, regardless of what happened on the field, they had a fantastic experience. And hopefully so far today, we've certainly achieved that.
You're doing a great job. Thank you very
much. Thank you very much.
All right, cheers.
Hey, anytime you want to come in and do...
at the right end as far as they are concerned, as Clark gives it to Jack Hughes, the 11th man of Warrington will win it.
Oh, you know I do. What would Brian Bevin say?
He'd have loved it. He'd have absolutely loved it.
Yeah. And how did you find it tonight? Were you a bit sort of like under the pressure with the Wigan coming as you did?
I really enjoyed it. We knew Wigan were going to come and play. They were desperate, but I think we handled it really well.
Yeah, I tell you what, we had you as our man of the match last week because like you came on and made a big difference. This week you followed it up again. Are you feeling sort of top of your game at the moment?
Yeah, you know, I got really fit in the off-season and you know, it's paying fruits for me now. So yeah, it's good. All good, yeah.
Oh, good man.
Thanks very much, mate. Cheers.
Steve, few words for the podcast. How did you think it went tonight?
Oh, we expect a brutal game tonight, and we got that. They've had a bit of a hard run of late, but it was only 6 weeks ago they were playing for the World Cup Championship against the Roosters, and you know they put a really gallant display in not so long ago. And you know we knew it was going to be a hard battle tonight, and we got that.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. You've used the word resilient when you first arrived at this club. I've noticed that everywhere else in the media is using that word now, and I think actually it showed tonight.
Yeah, it did, mate. Yeah, structurally, I thought defensively we were quite sound. They didn't really break us, through poor systems. But I thought George Williams had his best game tonight, and you know, I was just super proud of Daryl Clark, Steph Ratchett, Jace Clark. I thought they were enormous tonight.
Daryl Clark has been our man of the match for the past 3 weeks, solid as a rock through the middle. Do you think he motivates everybody else as well?
Oh yeah, we love having Daryl in our team, and we've got a lot of strong leaders within our team, and it's a credit to all those guys to generate some ruck speed so he can play off the back of that.
Alright, great stuff. Thank you for...
Cheers.
Alright, cheers.
Thanks, Steve.
So tonight, we're in the taxi now. Taxi driver's arguing with the other taxi driver in front. And it started a fight, yes.
Oh my God.
Now they're pushing each other. They're shouting. I hope I'm not paying for this. Yeah, they're having a proper fight.
I think we should get out.
No, it's all right. It's finished. Yep. Yes. Here they come. Back. He's a little piece of shit.
Well, if there wasn't bad blood at the rugby match, there was certainly bad blood in the taxi, Dennis. You had a good time, mate?
Overall, you have to say it was a really good day. I do get the sense that things have changed at the Halliwell Jones since I first went a few years ago. It definitely feels a bit better. The queuing was a concern that I had a word with Sam about, but I think we've covered that off. And I've got some suggestions for Carl. He's my new friend. Because, in fact, I'm going to send him all my back catalogue of tackle bags because I think he's going to be quite interested in some of my suggestions. But
I tell you what, that guy, he is intense. And if you want someone with passion running the club, then, yeah, we've definitely got that. And
oh,
I didn't realise that.
Oh, for God's sake. So, listen to you two.
Some
you've
of my other ideas.
5 minutes. You've spent 5 minutes around Steve Price and Carl Fitzpatrick, and you've both turned. I mean, there was no hard-cutting questions towards Fitzpatrick. Yes, I think you're doing a wonderful job on the marketing there, Carl. And then in the Steve Price interview, as it cuts off, some bloke in the background goes, "Thanks, Steve." Oh, pass me a bucket.
Well, I'm just thinking about...
I tell you what, Rob. Rob. I was amazed that Dennis went from bumbling southern idiot to Mr. Professional switched on as soon as he was put in front of anyone of note.
It's always like that in front of the toilets.
I'm just trying to sell some of our T-shirts with WWBBS on. I mean, I thought this is a great outlet for us. And, when you come over, Rob, I think you could be the running against the wire flyer. I think I've got you down for.
Yes, yeah, I'll give him a go.
Are you going to wear your purple leotard?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably put a banana down.
I've got an audience now. Can you hear someone laughing in the background?
Steve Price, how did he come across? Was he more articulate than you expected him to be?
I think he's always dealing with the media, and especially when it comes to a journalistic guru like myself. He was obviously well prepped, and in his answers. But I'd certainly say he gave me some resilient answers.
Yeah, it's very true. Well, one of the questions I don't think actually made the soundbite was, would you rather play a game of squash against Tony Smith or a game of Scrabble against Lee Breers? Do you fancy your chances against Steve Price at Scrabble, Dennis?
I reckon I could probably take him a few rounds at Scrabble. In fact, let's just take this little segment, shall we? I'll just read out a few of the questions that were supplied by Mr. London, shall we?
Remember, you've got people around you listening.
Yeah, I know. I'm leaving the dildo one out. Have I said that loud? All right, okay. Well, one of them aimed at myself. Do you think I look like Wazin Akram or an unfit Roger Federer? I mean, I don't know which what level you're going at there. Do you think Stuart Cummins should be considered to take over from Eddie Hemmings when he requires?
Yeah, why didn't you ask that one, Dennis? That was a belting question to ask.
Yeah, I know, it was good. But I tell you what, once you start asking questions, you know, what should we replace Tesco with Waitrose? I mean, you must have spent about 2 hours of your life putting all these together. Let me just, which one's my favourite one? I think, oh no, I can't even say my favourite one. But here we go. This is Rob's one for the hierarchy of Warrington Wolves. Once the Warrington owner passes away, should the council consider melting down Oliver Cromwell and replacing it with a statue of Simon Moran? Or is it just silly? I could go on, but I think we better not.
Fair enough. All right. Well, look, I was trying to lead you down the path there, Dennis, to ask you about Countdown, but I may as well just say it. Steve Price, Countdown. Here we go.
Good afternoon, and a warm welcome to the Countdown studio.
Steve Price, your turn. Your letters, please.
A consonant.
T.
Vowel.
E.
Vowel.
I.
Consonant.
N.
Yeah, vowel.
I.
Consonant.
S.
Vowel.
E.
A consonant.
R.
Consonant.
And L.
Stand by.
Year 9 letters.
Let's hear it.
Resilient.
Unbelievable. Well done.
Brilliant.
Okay, rumour has it this section has been linked to the FIFA voting committee, while others believe each week's winner has been chosen from the podcast listeners' attributes and merit only. Well, you decide. Strap in, everyone. It's that time again. It's podcast fan of the week, or as the cool kids are calling it, PFOTW, podcast fan of the week. Dennis, do you have any contenders for us, please?
Well, we've got a few contenders this week. As you know, I circulated one of them this week. I think a nice chap in Perth, I think he came across. Let's just have a look because I'm operating in the bar now. I have to just work through on my iPad where his name is. What's his name?
Darren Jones. Yeah.
I've got him, Darren Dennis, Jones. If you want me to read out his letter.
If you wouldn't mind, read his letter out.
Okay, so Darren Jones writes, he says, "Hi guys, I'm putting my name forward for fan of the week. I'm originally from Padgate area and went to St John's High School in Latchford. I now live in Perth, Western Australia, where everyone pretty much hates rugby league. My office wall is a place to remind my colleagues of my defiance towards Aussie rules footy. During the 80s and 90s, my mates and I from the Dog and Partridge in Padgate would go to Wembley for the weekend. After many years of watching Wigan, we decided not to go the year they played Sheffield Eagles. Ironically, one of my best mates now in Perth is a chap by the name of Martin Wood. He was sub for Sheffield Eagles on the day. And he sent through some lovely pictures. We'll explain the pictures. The first picture of is of Darren in his office, and he has painted his wall primrose and blue.
Primrose and blue. Yeah, have you?
Well, I haven't done that. No, I haven't done that. It's above and beyond. There's a picture, I presume, with his mate, Martin Wood. And then there's a third picture. And I'd have to say that Mrs. Jones is quite soft on the eye there in a one piece.
You're not getting a comment, are you? I feel like I'm being led. It's one of those questions, loaded questions.
Okay. We had another one. Jordan's written in. He's lost a match day programme. He's looking for the Warrington versus Castleford, 10th of August, 1996 programme. He's also written to say he doesn't want the entire programme. He just wants an image of the chairman's column.
Is that a euphemism?
Well, you tell me.
Sam, you know the chairman. Is it?
No, it wouldn't have been in 1996. Would it have been Higham in 1996?
What's the chairman's column? Right?
Oh, is that about the time of when? We can't.
Move on. Come on, who else have we got?
Christopher Gregory, another great show. Bring on the pies, he wrote this week, which was very good of him. Dennis, after your fame last week at the Halliwell Jones, I hear you were spotted again this week. Do you want to explain that one?
I think you mean me rather than Dennis, don't you? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Sam. Yeah.
Yes, I'd like to. Do we give a shout out? Is that the way the DJs say it? We'll give a shout out to Paul Heesam, hairdresser in Warrington. Paul is a keen listener. He's been telling all his customers about the podcast. I went in to get my hair cut, and he just said, "Sam, come to your seat." So he likes Dennis's tackle bags, or at least he mentioned Dennis's tackle bags. Dennis, I think you'd like Paul. Over the last 10 years or so, he's raised thousands of pounds for charity. Not that he likes to speak about it. He's jumped out of a plane. He's climbed to Everest base camp. He's kayaked down the Zambezi, all funded by donations from his customers. You know, just like Dan Walker going to raise money and being paid for by someone else.
Right. Do you know, did I mention this last week? You can walk up the four peaks of the UK
without actually getting money. You know, it's a lot cheaper to get to, you know, than Kilimanjaro. It is the same height as Kilimanjaro by the time you've walked up the four peaks, and it doesn't require like you to have a nice expensive holiday. I know I keep waffling on about this, but I'm
touched a nerve there. We've touched a nerve. Anyway, I need to say, listen, Paul is genuinely, he's a great guy. He's a great supporter of the podcast. And for the last couple of years, he's been raising money for a charity, Pumping Marvellous, for people with heart problems. So Pumping, P-U-M-P-I-N-G, if you want, anyone wants to support it.
You know, it's quite good, really, isn't it, Sam? Is that, you know, I think we're out there on the road pushing the podcast, meeting these new people, spreading the word and everything. Rob, what have you been doing the past week in terms of spreading the word of WWBBS?
Well, I'd just like to come back, if I could, to Mrs. Jones, who is over in Western Perth, and I clearly think we could establish a link with her. I'm open for her to send in some more pictures through, in particular that nice one piece, and I'll put them in my my new album, which I've called my Eddie Fuller album.
Mm. Any other notable references in your Eddie Fuller album?
Not yet.
Okay. Have you got a swimwear section in there?
We will do. One person we don't want to see in swimwear, but we've got in touch with the show, is John Thursfield. He says he sends his love and he was delighted he got a mention. So there you go.
Nice.
Right. Well, we need to come up with a winner. Look, I was going to give it to Darren Jones because he went that extra mile and he painted his office. Unfortunately for Darren, if you look at the picture, he's painted the primrose and blue stripes in a vertical direction. Now, we all know we now play in horizontal stripes. And if he's not going to pull his finger out and change his office walls, he can't be Podcast Fan of the Week. So this week's Podcast Fan of the Week goes to Mrs. Jones.
Oh, dear.
You notice I've not swore in this podcast.
No,
so far,
you're doing very
now
well.
I'm in the
then.
Bar. I know. I don't want to get thrown out.
Okay. All right. Now, after Madam Boyd introduced the podcast to Aquatherapy last episode, do we think possibly she has a prediction rising from her waters? And is Tony ready to flee the inner sanctum of Madam Boyd's retreat and return to coaching? Has Madam Boyd even got her balls back from Tony? Well, to find out, it's over to Dennis.
Is Madam Boyd there, please?
Yeah.
Oh, is that Tony?
Thank you, Tony. Ah, Dennis, I've been expecting your call.
Oh, hi, Madam Boyd. That sounded like Tony answered there. He sounds like he's in a bit of a trance.
Yes, dear. He is nearly ready for the next phase. My sister will arrive soon for the final personality transplant process.
Ah, right. Okay. Oh, well, keep us informed. Anyway, do you have a prediction for us this week, Madam Boyd?
I'll give it a go, Dennis. I only have one ball available this evening. I'm not sure if my performance will be up to its usual high standard.
Funny enough, Warrington had a player who finished the season with just one ball. It didn't affect his performance. Where is the other ball?
Purely research, dear. It's inserted into Tony, hence his trans-like state. Tony, are you okay there?
Yeah.
Anyway, dear, I'll rub my remaining ball and see what I can do.
Okay, when you're ready.
Yes. I feel another injury, blue and amber this time. Oh, it's very confusing, Dennis. M62, Yorkshire, the centre of Leeds, is on its knees.
I'll be honest, I'm not that interested in anything Yorkshire-related, unless it's Timothy Taylor's, of course.
Sorry, dear, that is a very dark place, possibly a garage.
OK, well, have you got anything Warrington-related?
At the end of the year, your leading man of steel will be the one that is not Blake Austin.
Right. All right, I'll have to ask Sam Sankey what that means. He can decipher that. He's been brought up on 3-2-1.
Well, I must go, dear. I must go and remove the ball from the arsehole.
Oh, that sounds painful.
Don't worry, dear. Tony won't feel a thing. Goodbye.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Well, let's try and pull that one apart. As I said in there, Sam, I think you're a 3-2-1 fan. What do you think? Firstly, the Leeds bit. Is that something that you can decipher?
Well, I was never very good at 3-2-1. The clues always seem to go over my head. So,
What about you, Rob?
Well, we couldn't get ITV, so it was impossible to get it from Thelwall.
Yeah,
so
you mentioned this once. It's like Steve Price with his answers, aren't you?
I think it clashed with Ski Sunday and David Icke, and we'd always watch that because we'd be, you know, keen to know where our skiing holiday would be going to.
Okay, well, I'll help you boys out then, obviously, because I was north of the river and I was always watching 3-2-1. I think the Leeds one has some kind of reference to a player who's got a similar injury to our own. So, and I also think that in general, they're just struggling in that sort of position anyway. I mean, as it stands today, Leeds bottom of the pile. But the other part of it, well, I'm just trying to think. I think the thing about that is that there's a clue in there. It was saying one. So Man of Steel won't be the one that we think it will be. Because, I mean, everybody's referenced Blake Austin this year. I think that's putting a bit of pressure on Blake Austin. So I think he can just sit back now, take his time, work his way into it, and let Stefan Ratchford get Man of Steel, which I know will please Mr. London.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Dennis, because I've just thought we haven't done our man of the match for the Wigan game, have we? Or done the player we'd like to swap. So we should probably go back to that now, shouldn't we? I'm not going to swap any players for Wigan, that shower of shit. I'll stick with the same 17. Any of you two want to swap a player for the Wigan game?
Yes, I want to swap Blake Austin for Williams.
Oh, come on, Dennis.
No, I only said that just to wind you up. I would swap Williams, though. I'd swap him for Ben Westwood.
Oh, dear.
Sam, are you swapping anyone?
I think I'll go with you. To be fair, I thought Williams in the last 20 minutes was excellent, but Dec Patton coming to the aid of his fellow man has just kept him in our team. But I tell you what, I'm not feeling the love for Tarzi at the minute. I am not seeing that he's any better. I'm not seeing that he's any better than King.
No. I thought King in the centre had a bit of a quiet game, actually. I thought he was
King.
Strong last week. Oh, okay. Well, George
King. All right. Well, anybody, no one going into your fantasy locker then? Nothing. I mean, you've not mentioned any fantasies this week. I know you fell out of love with Tarzi now.
Well, I could mention a fantasy. You two, Carl Fitzpatrick and Steve Price.
My fantasy this week was watching Dennis switch on and suddenly go to work as a professional. Yeah.
Surprised the four of you didn't come out like a monk's chain from that toilet the way you were carrying on.
Yeah, I'd like to now introduce a short little section for you two. I think you deserve a little bit of a quiz. Now, as you know, I travelled all the way up for this game. Carl was very impressed that I actually travelled up all the way from Somerset for the game. And anyway, it's a long way.
Get a room.
You know. So I went past quite a few service stations. So what we're going to play now is play a service station. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a description of a service station, and I want you to describe who it would likely describe as a Warrington player. So, are you ready, boys?
Yeah.
So, service station one, Gordano Services, which is located just at Avonmouth in Bristol. A compact, not that big, but been around for a while. Has Burger King, Waitrose, Starbucks, drive-through. The name Gordano, Old English for the triangular shape of the valley nearby. So, Sam, what player?
Has this morphed into tackle bags on the hoof, has it?
No. Come on.
Oh, don't tell me we've got tackle bags as well as this.
Yes, we've got tackle bags as well as this. Come on.
Sam?
That doesn't sound like a play to me. That sounds like a referee. If you're talking about the triangular, sort of angular thing, I'm saying Robert Hicks, that sounds like not a play at all.
Right, stick to the he needs more time to think. Rob, straight off the cuff, you'll come out with a player.
Did you say a valley? Did you say a deep valley?
Yeah.
Well, if there's a deep valley, there's only one person. Shape. And that's Ben Burnett Masilla, isn't it? Could you imagine the crack in his arse? Jesus, that's a valley.
Sam, are you going to come back with a player before I give you the answer?
No,
I've already told you, Ben Burnett Masilla. There you go. I've given it to you.
No. Philbin. So you're way off there. Big triangular shape. Slightly big, but compact. Are you ready to carry on? A bit more quicker now with your answers?
Come on.
Break. Michael Wood, we've got tackle bags to go yet. Lovely surrounding with an air of basic needs, but it looks forgotten about.
TripAdvisor. Bryce and Goodwin, move on.
Yeah. I don't think it's moved. Yeah, I think that's the answer.
Burger King was cold, and someone on TripAdvisor said they went into KFC and they had no chicken. Lovely to look at, but pricey.
It's Kevin Brown.
I've put Toby King down for that one.
Right, fair enough.
Right, Gloucester
Come
Services.
Come on, have any of them got Waitrose? Marks and Spencers? Blake Austin?
This one, Gloucester Services. You've answered this before I've even said it. Is that because you know Gloucester Services, because you're south of the river. You've stopped there.
What are you going past independent, Gloucester Services for?
Independent Farm Shop Services, cut above normal
it's
services.
It's my favourite services in the UK.
Yeah, ethical methods. That's it. They've got 18 Dyson blades in the men's toilet. That speaks marquee to me. Toilets.
Sounds as if at some point that Roger Draper was the chairman of Gloucester Services, if that's the case.
Strensham, Road Chef, M50 meets the M5.
Dennis, can we just stop a sec? You've not even got onto the M6 yet. How many times did you have to stop?
I've got a dodgy bladder. Let's not introduce that into this.
Right, okay. You'll be pleased to hear that after Callum's mugging from those French pigs over in Paris last weekend, Callum was also at the Halliwell Jones on Friday enjoying the match. Well, it turns out his Wigan Danger man didn't actually play on Friday. Callum, up your game, mate. So which injured player will Callum pick this week from the Wakefield team? It's over to Callum.
I feel like Wakefield are one of those quite awkward sides to play against. They're not always up in the top ends of the table, reaching the heights of sometimes us and Wigan and teams like that. But I think in terms of their danger man, if you're looking away from home against Wakefield, obviously the man you look for is Tom Johnston, the amount of tries he scores. But I would personally say, from the outside looking in, Bill Tupu, the centre, who is on the same side as Johnston, I think he is very, very good technically wise, and I think he goes under the radar a little bit. Fans don't really expect him to be as good as he is. He's a little bit like Bryson Goodwin, but I do think Bill Tupu is probably the danger man. You've got David Fifita through the middle, obviously absolute steam train, but I do think Bill Tupu is the man we'd have to be looking out for.
Well, let's just say that I have had a word with Callum and his dad, and he has promised he's going to get a microphone. I think his dad took him around Manchester yesterday, and I think he's going to buy him a microphone for the next sort of soundbite. So,
tackle bags. Yes. Dennis was so close last week to pulling the wool over our eyes. Thankfully, Dennis's plagiarism was picked up by an astute Sam prior to Dennis taking all the credit. Is there no level Dennis will stoop to in trying to save tackle bags from the chop? Come on, Dennis. It better be good this week. It's time for Dennis Waywell's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags this week is brought to you by Paul Heason's Quality Gentleman's Hairdresser, tackling the Barnets of the Borough for over 30 years.
Tackle Bags.
Right, well, after last week, we had the interactive human light board. I came up with the interactive stat board, which Even though it was claimed that somebody had done this, I don't think they had. I think it's my idea, and I have actually posted this to the Painting Pending. Anyway, so the responses, I had quite a few responses as usual, in all forms, letters, emails, faxes. 88% of people thought that was a really good idea, said yes. One person called Bill, he'd put in that that's about an 87% decent idea, especially if it's in a pie chart form for Wiganers. Oh, that was quite a good point. Obviously appealing to Statman there. 10% said no. S. Todd said, no, I've only got a Nokia 5110. So probably wouldn't work very well. And 2%, someone from called Panda Nobink said Statswat. I mean, that was a bit awful, really, wasn't it? I mean, I think it was a good section that I didn't need that to finish off with. So I notice you're not saying a lot, Rob. He's just thinking, it's going to take me ages to edit this. Oh, don't go on, Dennis, for too long. iTunes will be annoyed at me. Anyway, this week, we're going to look at in-goal areas. In-goal areas. How can we introduce a new scoring option in rugby league? Well, I've been thinking about this, and in-goal areas have an opportunity to exploit maybe a bonus system. So, if you will, just all think about the in-goal area now as you look down on the pitch, grid it out, and then what we'll do is we'll put numbers in those little grids. And when a team is kicking to the in-goal, if a player scores a try in a particular grid segment, he gets a bonus point, whatever is written in that grid. So I think that's just going to introduce a bit more like of a bonus point system in rugby league, which will certainly... What, Rob, why are you moving your head like...
Surely that's already accounted for in the fact that when you put the ball down over the try line, that's where you take the goal kick from.
Yeah, but this is like adding a bonus point onto the try, isn't it? Don't be like that about it. Don't be like that. You know it's a good idea. You just can't bring yourself to it because you're tired. So the only little bit of a negative to this is it might increase the number of video ref decisions as as people try kicking for goals. So anyway, if you think that's a great idea, I'm sure Carl does, Warrington Wolves, then I think if you let me know, I'll be happy enough to write to the RFL, and we'll see if we can get bonus point in goal areas for season 2020 tackle bags.
Very good, Dennis. Why not we do an it's a knockout style of bonus point? We could play a joker. When you get down towards the try line, we could have someone who runs on with it, you know, the big card, waves it above their head, and this is the, and it's double points.
That's not a bad idea. I might need that for tackle bags in about round 22. I have actually come up with another thing as well.
Just pick a player like in a fantasy team. If he scores, he gets double points.
Yeah. Then you have to.
Well, not... I've come up with another app, and I don't know whether to save it. But what about top trumps on your phone of players? And then when kids get to the ground, they can start like, you know. Yeah, start playing with their own players and things. You could have stats on each player, and then they could airdrop it.
What you have ideas. Age, height.
Yeah.
What else are you going to go for?
Busts.
Hey, that's no way to talk about their murder at Missilla. Oh, you mean busts as in going forward? Sorry, okay.
Yeah. So it's something to work on. Yeah, so I think we can get something that.
Right, okay. Well, we should probably move on to the Wakefield game. It's a tricky one, this. It's only a six-day turnaround. Wakefield, a bit up and down, Sam. I'm just looking at their form. To go through it, they beat Catalan at home on the opening round. Then they narrowly lose to Saints at home before being thumped in the capital against London. Losing again at home to Hull... Dennis, stop polishing your mic. Losing again at home to Hull KR. And then winning away at Leeds, and then beating Hull away this weekend. What do you make of them, Sam?
I think really you've hit the nail on the head. It's not just what do I think of them. What does anyone think of them? They look $1 million 1 week, and then the next week they just don't look quite the same. And interestingly, it's at home they've struggled more than away, isn't it? Maybe they're playing very well when the expectation's not on them.
Okay, all right. Well, we need a prediction. Sam, I'll go to you first.
I'm really not sure about this one, but I'm going to say we're going to sneak it 24-22.
Who's crying about that? What
well,
did
I
you
think
say?
It's someone at your end, or unless it's a ghost, Dennis. Something was not happy about that then. Okay, all right. Well, I'll go next. I think I'm going to go for an 18-all draw. And then Dec Patton is going to break the record for his drop goal and go even higher at Wakefield. So I go 19-18 extra time to Warrington. Dennis?
Well, I've also got Wakefield scoring 18 points, but I've got them down us winning 24-18.
All right, I'm going to round this up because it sounds like there's a party happening at Dennis's pub. Okay, you've made it to the end, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week when normal service will resume. Dennis safely back in his hamlet, discussing the likes of the village jam tarts and where one of the ducks has gone from the picturesque village pond. It can't have been eaten. They're all vegans round here. Sam will be walking about Warrington wearing a balaclava whilst throwing his voice, and I will be safely a long way away behind enemy lines, barking my orders in my shorts and singlets. Don't forget, if you want to write in to Dennis, to Tackle Bags, or the podcast for Fan of the Week, you can email us at whatbevan@gmail.com or direct message via Twitter to @whatbevan. And if you'd like to come on the show and have your say, let us know. Come forward. Let us know. We're keen to have you on in the next few weeks. Enjoy your week, everyone. It's a goodbye from a southbound Dennis.
Good seeing you.
A heavily disguised Sam.
All the best.
And I'll see you later from me, Rob London. You've been listening to, come on, Dennis, you can say it this week.
WWBBS, what would Brian Bevan say?
Cheers. Thanks, Steve.
Feeling the lights, the breeze, the sun, it shines and all.